All right. Praise to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we started this series of teachings last week Sunday on Think Like Jesus. I hope you remember. In which we pointed out that you can only be like Jesus unless you think like Jesus. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And if a man does not think like Jesus, he cannot speak like Jesus, he cannot act like Jesus, he cannot live like Jesus. And invariably, if a man does not think like Jesus, does not speak like Jesus, does not act like Jesus, he's not a Christian. And when you get to heaven, or when you are about to enter heaven, that is what is going to be checked first and foremost. Did you live your life like Jesus Christ? We see a lot of people today who claim to be Christians. Even the things that they do, the devil is afraid to try it. Some of them, if you offend them, you are in serious trouble. Some lie so much that you can't believe this guy has he ever seen the Bible in his life. And you may be surprised that he's a church worker. Some come to church specifically to come and steal money. Some have it as a profession, stealing money from the offering. That is their job. Okay? We have so many different kinds of Christians. And the problem is this. People get born again. They don't bother to look at the person who said, follow me. So this morning, we want to look at another aspect of thinking like Jesus. And that is the spirit of forgiveness. How to handle offenses. How did Jesus Christ say we should handle offenses? I had a story once that made me laugh. It's pathetic, but it's a little bit funny. There is one young boy who was taken to church and he was told to pray deliverance prayer, and a very long prayer. And the prayer went like, every problem in the house of my father, every problem in the house of my mother that is attacking my future, that will not allow me to reach my destiny, in the name of Jesus, fall down and die. Now the prayer point was too long for the small boy. He couldn't remember everything that he was told to say. But he remembered that they mentioned my father, they mentioned my mother, and then he had last, fall down and die. So he started, my father, my mother, fall down and die. My father, my mother, fall down and die. The prayer is too long. But you see, you will notice that that's the way a lot of people pray now. The slightest provocation, Christians begin to curse. The slightest provocation, Christians begin to pray. Every man, particularly even if they know the man, that is doing me, that is resisting me, in the name of Jesus, fall down and die. Now we need to find out, are we following Jesus Christ? I don't know how you handle offense, but I know one thing. Every one of us here has at least one person whom we claim has offended us. If there is anyone here who says, apart from these two young men, if there is anyone here who says, I don't have anyone who has offended me, even as I'm sitting here, raise your hand and let the rest of us pray for a liar. Go ahead. So, you have somebody whom you believe has offended you. Let's start by looking at it from this perspective. There are two types of offenses. There is the real offense and there is the imaginary offense. Oftentimes we don't know the difference. We just claim offense to be offense. Let me start with the imaginary offense. Let's assume you are working in an office like this and we tell you that resumption time is 8 a.m. So you arrive by 9 a.m. So the manager calls you and warns you. Say work starts by 8. Why are you arriving by 9? You gave excuses, say it rained, and then there was transport problem, and this, don't do it again. The following day, you arrive by 9. The third day, you arrive by 9. The man now gives you a query, and then puts the query inside your file. Then you get angry. And then you begin to bear a grudge. And before you know it, you are claiming that man has offended me. Why? He gave me a query. Am I the only person who comes late? Now, the man who gave you the query has not offended you. If you are angry with him, you are putting yourself in trouble with God. The man is innocent. He's doing his job. You are the one who did what was wrong. You are supposed to be there by 8. Now, those are the kind of things that most of us go through, and we say people have offended us. Let me give you another example. A wife had a problem with the husband. The husband says this way, and the wife says, hey, I want it done this way. And the man said, no, we are going this way. And the wife gets angry. And then she says, my husband has offended me. What has the husband done? Hey, I said this is how we should do it, and my husband said no. And therefore, he has offended. And if the woman doesn't take time, something else will build on top of that offense. Something else will build on top of. No. That offense is imaginary. Your husband has not offended you because he is the authority. He is the one who determines where you go in that home. Are you following along with me? That is not a real offense. That is an imaginary offense. And it is causing problem in most marriages. I give another example. We had an experience here in this office. We employed somebody. If he tells you 10 things, half of it is a lie. If you give him money to go and do something, we make sure he cuts something into his own pocket. If you pay him, give him money, go and pay somebody who has worked for us, he will not pay the people. Then he will keep telling the people, come today, come tomorrow, come today, come tomorrow. Then on top of it, we discover that he's not even a graduate. That he actually lied that he has HND. So we sacked him. A few weeks after we sacked him, I saw him in one church one Sunday morning. The guy saw me coming, he turned his eyes away, very angry, he didn't greet me. Unforgiveness has set in. He was already bearing a grudge with me for sacking him. Now, the point is this, that grudge that he bears is imaginary. I didn't offend him. Are you following along with me? I did not offend him. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I mean, you can't come to an office and tell lies and steal money and claim to be a graduate and you are being paid a graduate because we believed you that you won't lie and we discovered you are not a graduate and then we fired you and you say that I have offended you. That is an imaginary offense. Are you following along with me? Most likely some of you are having issues with your parents at home and you say daddy has offended me, mommy has offended me. You need to be careful that the offense you are claiming is a real one and not an imaginary one. Because you, if you are the one that is wrong, then it is not an offense. There is no basis for you to claim that you have been injured. In Psalm 51 verse 6, David said, after he was confronted with his sin with Bathsheba, he said, God, you desire truth in the inward part. God wants you to be honest with yourself. If something happens and somebody rebukes you, or somebody disciplines you, or somebody takes an action against you that makes you feel inconvenienced, please be honest enough to ask yourself, what did I do to deserve this? Be honest to ask yourself, what did I contribute? And if you are honest enough, you will discover that you caused the problem. But you see, many of us, we don't try to do that. We justify what we have done. We try to defend ourselves because we love ourselves so much. Then in trying to defend yourself, definitely somebody must accept the blame for that situation. You transfer the blame to the innocent person. And then you are calling on God to come and fight for you. God doesn't fight those battles. He doesn't. And a lot of relationships have been destroyed simply because people will not accept that they are wrong. So in looking at how to handle offenses, the first step is that you must make sure that you are not the offender. Because you might be the one who has offended. But because you don't want to face the truth, you transfer the blame to the innocent person who was simply trying to set you right. I've discovered something very, very amazing about this present generation of Nigerians. I see it in the office here almost, I wouldn't say on a daily, but almost on a weekly basis. People don't like being corrected. people do what is wrong, they believe that you don't have any right to tell them what you have done is wrong. Talk less of you now want to discipline them. People don't accept it. The situation is changing. The culture is changing. We are gradually developing a culture of rebellion. You will see it on the road. Okada man will scratch your car. You will say, hey, it's what you're doing. Come on, come on. And then the man will start cursing you and he will go. Okada man will drive very rough. He will nearly drive in front of you. You have to slam the brake immediately. The passenger and the Okada man will start abusing you. Instead of the passenger to tell the Okada man, hey, be careful. Take this thing easy. Both of them will start abusing you. Why? They will not accept that they are wrong. And a lot of people fight causes that are wrong. Please, God desires truth in the inward part. Be honest with yourself. You are probably the cause of that problem. Now, I'm not saying that there is no offense. That is what we want to look at this morning. But we need to first and foremost establish that. So that when you are going to pray, you probably will be going to God to ask him to forgive you for all the unforgiveness that you are carrying against people who have not offended you. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 34. We are going to be reading a lot of Bible passages. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 34. Are we there, please?
Yes.
I read. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, this is a clear case of offense. Jesus did nothing wrong. He did not lie. He did not steal. He only did the will of God. He helped the poor. He preached the gospel. He told people the truth. And the Pharisees got very angry with him that he was stealing the show. So they started to manipulate opinion against him. And when Pilate said, look, I have found nothing wrong with this man. Again, Pilate said, look, I bring him to you. Let me just beat him and let him go. There is nothing wrong with this man. And they said, ah, if you set him free, you are no longer the friend of Caesar. We'll blackmail you. If you set him free, he's calling himself a king. We'll go and tell Caesar that in your locality, somebody is calling himself a king apart from Caesar. And he told, Pilate said, if it comes to that, I wash my hands off his case. Go and do whatever you like. So they killed him. They hung him on the cross naked. It is because of decency that those who draw Jesus on the cross put a piece of cloth round his loins. They hung him naked. It was a shameful death. And the only property that he had was the dress he was wearing. So the soldiers sat down in front of him at the foot of the cross. They were using his only property to do kalu kalu. Now, how many of us in such a situation will look down at those people and not call down fire? But Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Thereby setting us an example that when we have done nothing wrong, now listen, this is what is the real offense. You have done nothing wrong. Someone did something wrong to you. Without any justification, you did not offend him. You did the right thing, and somebody came and did the wrong thing. And you have every right to be angry. And you have every right to bear the grudge. That is the one we are talking about this morning. Not the one that you went looking for trouble, and then they knock your head. And then you came back, you said, that man that knocked my head is a wicked man. Why should he knock my head like that? The thing that they were talking that you went to interfere, did they call you to the matter? Did they call you? That one, you receive punishment for your error. So don't hate the man. Rather, rebuke yourself and say, next time, I must not do that. Somebody following along with me? Good. Now, we are looking at the story of Jesus Christ now. He set us an example that when we are genuinely offended, if we are truly his followers, we must forgive. And we are going to see the reason why from today you must begin to forgive all your enemies, because you lose a lot every time you hold a grudge against somebody. But before we do that, let's first sort out an area of confusion. I will call it confusion, or maybe you may want to call it misunderstanding. Because you will read something in the Bible, which is the problem we are having in the church today. Something is in the Bible, people will quote it, and they will use it. And I will say, after all, it is written in the Bible. But then, is that what they are supposed to do? Because there is a difference between the Old Testament saint and the New Testament saint. You are a New Testament saint. The instructions that God gave the Old Testament saint is different from the instruction that he gave you. But in most Christian assemblies, they do not distinguish. They just module everything together. It is the Old Testament saint that God told in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you will be the head only and not the tail. The New Testament saint, Jesus told him in Mark chapter 10, he that will be the head amongst you must be the servant of all. Different. But you will never see Christian carry sticker of I will be the servant of everybody. They will carry the sticker, I will be the head, not the tail. So the man comes to church, he starts throwing his weight around, very proud, very arrogant. That's why you don't see humility in the church anymore. Are you following along with me? Because everybody believes I'm the one who's supposed to dominate. Right? Unfortunately, what the Lord says is that you are the one who is supposed to serve. God expects that the person who is the greatest in this assembly is the person who arrived first on Sunday and sweeps this place for the rest of us. As far as God is concerned, that's the greatest person. Not the person who is even standing behind the pulpit ministering the word, which is what everybody would like to do. So it's different. We need to understand. So let's look at what does God say about forgiveness to the Old Testament saints. Exodus chapter 21. Is somebody following along with me, please?
Yes, sir.
Exodus chapter 21. Verses 23 to 25. I will read. Verses 23 to 25. And if any mischief follow, that is a situation between two people, and if any mischief follow, then Old Testament said, thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If you read this in the Bible, if somebody slaps your face as a Christian, you will say it is written in the Bible, wound for wound, hand for hand, stripe for stripe, fire for fire. You will wipe his face back, so you think I'm stupid. In fact, you will wipe it and say in the name of Jesus, and you will slap his face. But that is for the Old Testament saint. We read the Bible passage in Matthew chapter 5. Abi, if a man should smite you on the right cheek, do what? Turn the other unto him. If a man will force you to go 1 mile, go how many miles with him? Go 2. The reference there is that during the time that Jesus Christ came, the Romans were ruling the world. And there was a law in the Roman Empire that the Jews were their servants. And a Roman soldier had the right when he was traveling anywhere, because he had to carry his personal effects, if you should see any Jew, that Jew must carry his bag for the next 1 mile. So you can see a Jew walking in front of his house, he will just say, come, carry it, and the man must carry it for the next 1 mile. If he doesn't, they will kill him. Jesus now says, the Jews were protesting against that. Jesus says, listen, even if they say carry it for 1 mile, you carry it for 2. Are you getting the point? If somebody is cheating you to your face, leave him alone. He's not cheating, he's cheating himself. Because God, somebody is watching who's going to fight for you. He says, if somebody steals your coat, let him have your jacket also. How many of us will agree with that? Somebody comes, steals your beautiful coat. And they say, wait, you forgot to take the shirt. Yeah. I have the shirt too and add to it. He says that when you do that, you are like your father which is in heaven. Because somebody is watching. Are you following along with me?
Yes, sir.
We are looking at thinking like Jesus. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's even leave that Matthew chapter 5, for example. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and find out what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 is towards the end of the Bible. We read verses 21 to 23. And then we see what we are called to do as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Are we there, please?
Yes, sir.
Now, verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called. Please, watch that statement very well. This is what you are called into. When Jesus says, come, follow me, this is what is calling you to do. He said, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now this is what you are called into. You are called into follow the steps of Jesus, who was completely innocent. There was no guile, no lie, no deception found in his mouth. But when he was insulted, he did not insult back. He kept quiet. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That is the meekness that every child of God is called into. There are Christians today, even before you insult them, they are ready. They are ready. They will talk. Some may not talk in your presence, but the moment they turn their back from you, they will report you to everyone that they know. And they will slander you. And yet, they are wrong. But they will tell the story in a way that it will favor them and it will destroy you. But they are the ones that is wrong. God said that is not Christianity. That is not what Jesus Christ has called us to do at all. If there is any one of us who has that kind of characteristic, please, I plead with you in the name of Jesus, go and change as from today. Because when the time shall come that you want to enter heaven, because everything we do about Christianity here is focused on who will enter heaven. When the time comes, the fellow will not enter. Don't blame the devil at all. If you sincerely believe that your Christianity is meant to get you to heaven, please, from today, change your attitude to offenses. Number one, do not be the offender. Number two, make sure that even when they genuinely offend you, like you have seen here, you are called to forgive them. we will get into what you are to do about that in the next few minutes. God helping us. We still have so much to cover. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, there is the need to learn about scriptural forgiveness. Mark chapter 11. Because unforgiveness hinders prayers. There are Christians who pray and pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. There are Christians who pray and pray and pray and nothing happens. I just told you a story this morning. It was raining and I got worried. The way this rain continues, some people will not come to church today. So I knelt down in my office. Lord, stop that rain. It can let it rain later in the day when the church service is over. And the rain stopped. And anybody can pray. Anybody can talk to God. Like we are learning in the Bible study. I want to encourage all of you to come for Bible study. We do Bible study here every Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., just 1 hour. Right now we are learning, we are teaching on prayers. So I want you to be there. God bless you. Now, unforgiveness hinders prayers. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. And when ye stand praying, verse 25, what's the first you are supposed to do?
Forgive.
If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now you know what that means. If God tells a man, you have offended me and I'm not going to forgive you, that fellow is in serious trouble. Every door that is supposed to open in his life will be shut. Nothing will work. He has no defense. He has no protection. He has no provision. So God says, before you come to pray, first make sure if anybody has offended you, genuine offense, remember we mentioned that, not imaginary offense, genuine offense, make sure that you forgive. Unforgiveness hinders prayer. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And believe me, you have a lot of things that you yourself have done that you need forgiveness, both from God and from man. So if you say somebody has offended me, I'm going to hold that person, in fact, until the person pays for that thing, I'm not going to let him go. You are doing yourself fool. That's number one. Number two, forgiveness hinders salvation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Are we there, please? Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. It's an interesting story. We may not be able to read all the parable, but the story starts from verse 23. To verse 25, because of time, we may not be able to read it. But you remember the story of the unforgiving servant. He owed his master 10,000 talents. Yeah? And he said he could not pay. So his master said, I forgive you. And as he was leaving his master, he saw someone who owed him 100 denarii. And he said, the Bible says he grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And when the man said, you please, I will pay you later, I don't have it now, he said, no, put him inside the prison straight away. Which is what many of us do. There are certain things we have done that are terrible sins. There are certain offenses that we have done that are so terrible both to God and to man. And God, the day you came to Jesus Christ, He forgives you everything. You now say, because somebody else offended you, so God forbid. Ah, that quarrel, we will settle it in heaven. You won't get to heaven. Say, I can't forgive. What that man did, don't even talk about it. Let's put Christianity aside. This one, Christianity does not even come to. You are not going to heaven. Now, let's look at it. Jesus Christ simply said that man owed his master 10,000 talents. He did not tell us whether it is 10,000 talents of gold or 10,000 talents of silver. He simply said 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents, if it was gold, it is $6 billion. $6 billion, not million, and not naira. I said dollars. $6 billion. That's what he owed. If it was silver, it was $75 million. So let's even say conservatively that servant owed his master $75 million. He could not pay, and his master wrote it off. He now met a servant that owed him 100 pence, which today's cost is $65. Do you see the gap? Now, he was forgiven a debt of $75 million. He could not overlook $65. That's what many of us do with unforgiveness. We forget that we are also sinners. We forget that we offend people. We forget that we offend God. So we put that one aside. Somebody does something to us, you say, you will see, I will show you. And then you say you are going to heaven. Forget heaven. Anybody who is like that should just forget heaven. Why? See verse 35, Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. What did Jesus say? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. His master threw him into outer darkness, and they threw the key away. So that is what my Father will do to you. And so he's talking about brother. So he's not talking about an unbeliever. He's talking about a child of God to another child of God, or a child of God to an unbeliever. I think some of the people we have enmity against the most happen to be members of our families, because they are the ones we interact with most of the time. Our parents, our siblings, brothers, sisters, our uncles, our aunties. Maybe you came from the village and you had to stay with an uncle in Lagos, and the man treated you somehow, and eventually you had to pack out of his house and say, the way that man treat me, I'm just waiting for his children to grow. Whoa, I will deal with his children. Whoa, I will revenge. Hey, let me tell you one terrible thing about unforgiveness. Brethren, I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at what we have. If we don't finish today, we continue next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday, by the grace of God, we will be looking at how to handle injustice, which is different from how to handle offenses. That is the plan. But if we don't finish this one, we will continue it next Sunday. And if the Lord tarries, we will meet, we will still. There are so many things we are going to learn about thinking like Jesus. Now, I was going to talk about an experience that happens. Let me give you an example. You are a businessman, a young businessman. You do business with a man, and the man cheated you, and he went away. And because that man cheated you in that business, you became very bitter, and you refused to forgive him. But the man has gone. Check your life. What you have done is, by that single act of unforgiveness, you tie that experience around your neck. You will continue to carry it through life. You will discover that from that time on, everyone you do business with is going to cheat you. That experience will continue to repeat itself. It will continue to. Why? You have tied unforgiveness around your life. You will continue to carry it. Are you following along with me? Let me give you another example. You are a young girl. You are supposed to marry one young man. He jilted you. And because he jilted you, you refuse to forgive him. From that moment, you don't have a stable relationship. Even if you are engaged to an angel, he will jilt you. Somebody flowing along with me. It's the bait of Satan. Woman, you are married, your husband offended you. Instead of forgiving him and letting it go, you refuse to forgive. From that moment, you've destroyed joy in your marriage. It's like everything the man does from that time on will be offending you, will be offending you, and you will continue to carry it until you learn to forgive. God won't release you. He won't release you. That's why people discover certain things keep recurring in their lives. It keep recurring in their lives. They say, hey, this thing again. Everybody I do business with, is just cheating me. It is a devil. It is ancestral covenant. It is this. I will join me to pray. No. It is no covenant. It is no devil. It is your own forgiveness. Is somebody listening to me?
Yes,
which is why you must do what Jesus Christ says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. When situations that provoke us come our way, it is God's way of giving us an opportunity to prove that we are like Jesus Christ. If we don't quickly learn, we will make our lives very bitter. A lot of Christians today are very unhappy because they pray the wrong prayers. A lot of Christians today have no joy in Christianity because they are living the wrong Christian life. Why would Christians gather for God's sake and say, every enemy that is hindering my promotion, in the name of Jesus, fall down and die, fall down and die, fall. Since you have been saying fall down and die, how many of them died? I'm asking you, those who have been praying, how many people have they killed? Nobody died. They are not going to die because it is God who determines who lives and who dies. And God did not send you to go and kill people for him. He sent you to go and forgive them. Are you flowing along with me?
Yes, sir.
That prayer, it is witchcraft. It is witchcraft. Witches stay awake all night. In the witchcraft coven, they start sending out curses. Isn't that so? Christians too come for vigil during the night, they to start sending out what? Curses. So what's the difference between the Christian and the witches? This witchcraft. I pray you will not be a witch. We'll talk about witchcraft one day, then you discover some interesting thing. There are two types of witches. Well, we don't have time to talk about that. I want to see how much you can cover before time goes today. Now, what should born-again Christians do to those who offend them? I think we will stop there. Matthew chapter 18. I hope you are still there.
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, please go along with me as we read this short Bible passage together. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Now when the Bible says thy brother, it's not referring to your mother's son. It's referring to anyone within the church. Could be a brother, could be a sister, could even be the pastor. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and as a publican. Now let me ask us, many of us have been Christian for years, do we practice this? We don't. The first thing God says is that if anybody offends you, say the first person you should go and meet is the perceived offender. Say, go and meet him. I say, Brother John, please, I want to talk to you. Please sit down. He say, why? What is the problem? Say, well, you did something that offended me. And I just want you to know I was offended. This and this and this and this is what you did. You know the amazing thing? John may not even know that he has offended you. You are the one who is just fuming. Maybe you greeted John. Brother John, how are you doing? Good morning. And John went and you felt insulted. And I was, I came, I greeted you that day. You just shunned me off in the presence of everybody. Hey, John, say, hey, my bro, sorry. Sorry. Before you greeted me, they just called me that my child was sick in the hospital. So I didn't even know what to do. Even you yourself will start sympathizing with him. Say, ah, sorry, I didn't know. Ah, how is he now? Or before, as you were greeting me there, I just received message from village that my mama died. He said, hey, hey, well, no wonder. Me too, I said so. It is unlike you. Problem solved. Are you following along with me?
Yes,
what we do is that John offends me. Okay? Other than me to go and tell John, you have offended me, I will call Andrew. I say, see what John did, though. I greeted him. He just shunned me off. That's John. Because he got that job at MTN. He's now becoming very arrogant, though. He doesn't talk to us anymore. Then I leave Andrew. I move to James. Hey, James, you see John, though? I greeted him. He do this. Then I move to Chuku. Hey, you see John, though? Then I move to Bayo. Hey, Bayo, you see John, though? I will tell everybody, but I will not tell John. You understand? Then Chuku begins to bear a grudge against John. Then James begins to bear a grudge against John. Then Bayo begins to bear a grudge against, and John has not offended anybody. Are you flowing with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
That's why Jesus Christ says, if anybody offends you, if you are sure that offense is real. You see, if you offend me and you cannot come to me to tell me that I've offended you, then I didn't offend you. It's your imagination. If I did, you will be bold enough to come and say, Pastor, I don't like what you did. But people can't go because they know that the offense is not genuine. Is somebody in church this morning?
Yes, sir.
Ha. The Lord now says, if you tell him and he does not agree, he says, take one or two persons along with you. Go. That is when God now says, after speaking to John, John says, no, I didn't offend you. No. The way I answered you is the only way I can answer you. No, I didn't do anything wrong. No. Then you can now go and call Bayo. I said, Brother Bayo, come. This is what John did. And I told him I don't like it. Come with me. Brother Chuku, you to come with me. And then the three of you now go back to go and meet John again. And you say, and the two will now talk. John, we had this story. What happened? They will now mediate. Now, at that level, you will solve the problem. Are you following along with me? Even if John still says, no, I do not agree, the Lord says, okay, at that point, you can now come and tell the pastor. At that point, you can now come and tell a larger group. If the church now intervenes and the offender still says, no, I didn't offend, and Bayo and Chuku says, you offended though. And then they take it to the church. The pastor and the church say, John, what you did wasn't right. The excuse you gave is not acceptable. Apologize. And John says, no, I'm not going to apologize. At that point, Jesus Christ says, abandon him. He's not a Christian. The person who offended, and you are able to prove to him that he offended you, and two witnesses were able to prove to him that he offended you, and the whole church was able to prove to him that he offended you, and he refused to accept, say, forget him. He's not a Christian. at that point, you can cut off. Does it make sense? See, the problem with us, we have problems in our relationships because we don't do what God says. Rather, the next thing you are going to do, you will see people do, is that they will call a vigil. And they will begin dangerous prayers. I actually saw a banner of a church promoting a vigil. And they say, vigil, dangerous prayers, all your enemies must die. I saw it koro at Baga. That day I didn't have camera. I told myself I better be moving about with camera in this Lagos. Koro, dangerous prayers, all your enemies must die. And people will go there not knowing that they are being called to come and partake of a witchcraft ceremony. It's not a vigil. It's not a prayer vigil to heaven. It is witchcraft. The next thing you see people do is they will now call vigil. Brother John, Heavenly Father, Brother John, it is because you gave him a job in MTN. In the name of Jesus, they must sack him. They must sack him so that he will learn humility. Yes. That's the kind of nonsensical prayers Christians pray now. That's why God is not answering. Because once God identifies you as someone whose prayer is fall down and die, the day you now need food, he will not answer. Say that murderer is coming to ask for food. If you give him too much food, he will kill more people. Brethren, we'll stop here for today because of time. We will continue next week Sunday. Let me say we are just getting to halfway. So if I say I want to go any further, we will not do justice to the things that we need to learn about how to handle offenses. But at least with the one which we have learned today, I want to give everyone here an assignment. I want you, when you get home, take a sheet of paper. Are you feeling along with me? And take a pen. And start writing the names of all your enemies. There are many. Some of you will need an exercise book. Because you have to trace it from the time that you were a child. You will nearly write the names of everyone in your village. Because every one of them has, and you have sworn. You are just waiting for that time that God will make you a governor before you will begin to deal with every one of them. And that's why God will make sure you will never become a governor. So write all their names. Are you following along with me? And then begin to take each person one by one on your knees. Listen, what I'm asking you to do, it is to give yourself deliverance. It is to deliver yourself. You heard what Jesus Christ says, if you do not forgive, neither will God do what? Forgive you. When you want to pray, before you pray, make sure you have forgiven. Then God will hear you. You have a lot of things you want God to do for you. Even if it is your father, your mother, your mathematics teacher. Some of you, your mathematics teacher is in trouble. Write all of them. And don't forget your landlord. One young man, should I tell you this story or leave it till next week, Sunday? He said he wants God to give him the power to raise people to life and to kill them. That's the only thing he wants from God. That the moment God gives him that power, that he's going straight home, he's going to meet his landlord. He will kill the man straight away. Then he will bring him back to life. I say, landlord, are you awake now? I say, yes, I'm the one who killed you. Then he will kill him again. Then when he kills him again, he will bring him back to life. I say, how many times have I killed you? That will say twice, okay. So I'm the one doing it. So you kill him again the third time and bring him back to life and warn him. The day you increase rent, I will kill you permanently. I won't lose you. Now, that's not why God gives power to kill and to raise to life. It's to do positive things. I want you to make that list and pray for each person mention what you believe each person has done for you and forgive them. And tell the Almighty God, I forgive this one. If it is Shade who offended you when you were in the university, Almighty God, I forgive Shade in the name of Jesus. I release her. I forgive this, I forgive this, I forgive this. Before next Sunday, let's do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to thank you this morning for your word. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Your word has come forth, Almighty God. We have all heard. We are asking for grace, that which we have heard today, we shall be able to mix it with faith. That, Father, it will not just be another sermon to each one of us.